We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, good day. Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome, welcome to Head On with Bob Kincaid. This is not Bob Kincaid, obviously. It's John Fox filling in for the man for the week while he's off at, this week, Netroots Nation, right? And it was the big premiere of The Last Mountain last week and over the weekend. And we'll hopefully hear from Bob sometime, maybe even during tonight's proceedings, not sure. He's just gotten down Netroots Nation and, just kind of getting his head around where he's going to be at. And I think he's going to be treated a little bit better this year than he was last year. And perhaps I should refrain from commenting on that any further. But long-time listeners and anyone that was around this time last year might recall some issues that we had with broadcasting from Netroots Nation last year. So. It's Moran Monday. We'll kind of stick with Bob's thing here. If you got nominations, send them on in. Hop in the chat room. I know there's been like no notice. I could be just absolutely talking into a void. But it's not a void. I know some of you got to be out there sitting there forgetting that Bob was going to be out of town. Hopefully tuning into the stream going, wait a minute. Something sounds wrong. But anyway, if you have any Moran Monday suggestions, please feel free to send them my way. And you can send them to John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. And we'll get them in there. I got a couple of nominations. One of them I think I might catch a little bit of flack for. But we'll get into that a little bit later. Maybe we'll pick up some calls. Now, I don't have the toll-free number, unfortunately. We're working on another toll-free number situation when we remotes and for me down here and other hosts when they're, you know, not in the main studio so that we can open up the conversation. We'll get into the More and Monday stuff, like I said, hopefully get some calls and some recommendations before I reveal mine. But I've been out of this for a while. You know, I haven't done this for a while. It's been a long time since I've been on with y'all. The last time, I think, was about 6 months ago or something, last one of Bob's previous trips away. And I'll tell you, I have been somewhat disconnected from it, from y'all a bit. The last couple of months, been on the road a lot, and you know, I have to admit, the whole American political situation just became so unbearable to watch for a while that get sucked into other things. Ooh, looks like we have the joys of internet connection not being joyous. Let's see how this holds up. we have some pretty crap weather going on. It's not raining at this very moment, but it has been bucketing here, and I'm just noticing now that bandwidth isn't great, so we'll see how well this holds up. Our power and everything has been fine, but things have got to be getting strained, and I don't know if you've heard, I'm jumping around a little bit, I don't know if you've heard, but there were a whole bunch more quakes in Christchurch, New Zealand, yesterday and overnight, like a dozen overnight. So that could be putting some strain on the local internet. Wow, all over the place. But, you know, it's been a long time since I've been on air. Behind the scenes here, I know y'all are going, we never hear from this guy, blah, 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 blah. But there's a lot of stuff actually brewing. And my show will hopefully be returning maybe by the end of the month. We'll see. There's a lot of stuff happening tech-wise here at the Horn, which we've actually been working on. And there's going to be some interesting stuff happening. Like I was saying, and as I try and get my head back into the idea of talking for 3 hours, which is sometimes a huge task, even for a motor mouth like myself. But it got so painful to just watch the train wreck, which is American politics, and it hasn't been any better here. I mean, it's just as much high school click bullshit here, if not worse in some ways, and maybe just due to the fact of our size or something, it just looks even more ludicrous. But it's really scary. I shouldn't say getting to be scary. It is scary. What I see from over here, you know, on the other side of the planet from most of y'all, I'm watching just the demise of a country. And we're not talking about, like, you know, Glenn Beck bullshit, you know, conspiracy theory stuff. You know, I've got to the point, like, you know, we don't need conspiracies anymore, do we? Do we really? Do we really? Do we really? Because the destruction's just, like, being done right out in the open. And no one seems to want to accept that fact and keep having spats between the cliques. And, you know, who's pure and who's this and who's that. And nothing's getting done. Meanwhile, the people's work is completely just hijacked, derailed, forgotten about. I mean, when was the last time for, you know, more than a day, any real subject, topic, issue actually was debated in any way, shape, or form? When was the last time there wasn't some sort of side snipping or name calling? You know, when the Democrats took over, you know, we all said, ah, the adults are back in command. Or at least that was the hope. And while that still holds true to a point, the I don't know, it just feels like this mongrel dogfight. And all you're gonna do is end up with torn fur and blood, and no one wins. And I know, I just sit back here and I watch on the one hand as Barack Obama doubles down on the Afghan war. Has us involved, not involved in Libya now. Iraq's still a going concern. The Patriot Act has had some renewals and some shit done to it that are really freaking people out. And, you know, it's pretty much, you know, it's just not much has changed since Bush. So here's a pretty centrist, if not right-wing guy. But yet, the other side, with the Republicans, the Tea Party, Fox News, you know, all of that, are able to portray this guy that basically bends over and gives them everything that they want. And they're still able to portray him as some sort of boogeyman, socialist, communist. And you're supposed to have an actual debate on issues in this kind of dynamic where you have two sides that can never, especially one side more than the other, but can't verge from the doctrine at all. Constantly talking about things in black and white Coke or Pepsi choices. And it's all limited to that. And I'm a little all over the shop here. Like I said, I'm trying to get back into this whole radio thing, this whole stream of consciousness concept. And just as an example, I yesterday I was watching the netcast of Press the Meat with David Gregory. And, you know, bitch moan about David Gregory, how, you know, how much of a pushover he is. But I sat there and watched, Rebus, whatever his name is, the head of the RNC, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz are on. And I'm just watching the stagecraft of the thing. And every time Debbie Wasserman Schultz has something thrown at her by David Gregory about, like, you know, well, you know, the economy's worse and da-da-da-da-da-da and, you know, all this stuff and framing it in that there never was a Bush administration or, you know, or the tax cuts and all that. And every time Wasserman Schultz would kind of clarify everything and correct all the things that were not correct, when she'd start making the point about the fact, the very, very real fact, that the Bush tax cuts and other things before even this administration came in are the real culprits of why the economy is where it is. And then every time, you know, Obama's even tried to do any of the centrist stuff, the Republicans tie his hands. So it's been, you know, it's this thing of like, you know, well, you haven't done a very good job. Well, you haven't actually let us do what we wanted to do. Well, let's not talk about that. pardon me. You know, and every time Debbie would come around and, you know, want to put that final wrap on the point, I mean, you can go watch the clips. Gregory has to run in and go, oh, yeah, that's all fine, blah, 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 blah. What about this horrible thing about Obama or the Democrats? But yet when her Republican counterpart found a way to connect a dot, he got, you know, an extra 30 seconds, an extra 45 seconds. And you just sit there and watch, you know, it's like, this is why I say, who needs conspiracies anymore? Who needs any kind of conspiracy? You know, throw it all out the window. The crap's being done in front of us. While we all sit there and, like, fight over crumbs, these people that we've supposedly elected to represent us are laughing at us. They're laughing at us. Which brings me to something else. And I found this interesting, you know, when I was doing my show regularly on the weekends and talking about the environment, you know, and, you know, the Midwest would get flooded or, you know, this or that would happen. And, you know, people, you know, always ask the question, well, you know, was this caused by climate change? And, you know, we've always, because some of us, most of us on this network, kind of understands how science works, as in, science is constantly checking itself. It's constantly trying to prove itself wrong. That in grand subjects like the climate, stamping direct cause and effect is a little bit ridiculous. But you look at trends. And for a long time, while I was hosting the old show, I used to always do that back off of you know, I cannot say that this X event, weird weather event, is the result of climate change. And there was always, but then you'd follow it up with, however, all the modeling since the 90s continues to point more and more that this is the kind of thing that we will see when the effects of climate change become obvious. Well, I really think it's time for the scientific community and the environmental messaging system to get over that. It's time to start not individual events, but start looking at the grand scheme. What the fuck has been going on this planet in the last 12 months? In the last 12 months, let's see. Here in Australia, about 6 months ago, we had like the worst floods in a century in Queensland, which were just on top of floods that were the worst in a century in Queensland like 6 months before and 6 months before that. Over in the United States right now, you got wildfires going off in Texas that have burned more of the United States than at any time in recorded history this early in the season. We have had massive crop failures all over the world. We've had crop failures here in Australia because after the big floods, the farmers couldn't plant in the soggy soil. There's a massive wheat failure in Texas last year, I think. And then you want to go a little further up north. You start getting up into Iowa and Minnesota and around the Mississippi. With all this increased moisture in the system, we're getting, there's been the most ridiculous flooding. And then to make it even worse, with the way that man over the last 50 years has re-engineered the rivers and tributary systems throughout the Central Plains, the natural runoff systems are all gone now. And so what's happened? Massive flooding. But for years we've said, nope, we can't say that this event is climate change. But you start looking at this past year, 18 months. I mean, you know, record snowfalls in the United States, record rains and flooding in the UK. Now, this brings me to, I'm gonna play the audio from a video here. And the audio is just an op-ed piece, but I do recommend after the show going to Common Dreams. And there's a piece here, a link between climate change and the Joplin tornadoes. Never. And Bill McKibben published an op-ed at the Washington Post about a month ago. And someone has taken that op-ed and put it against some pretty disturbing images. But you don't even need the imagery because this op-ed is just so unbelievably spot on. That I think this won't be, you know, talking about cinema on the radio. But the op-ed's just brilliant on its own.
Caution.
Here we go.
It is vitally important not to make connections. When you see the shots of rubble from Joplin, Missouri, you should not wonder, is this somehow related to the tornado outbreak 3 weeks before it in Tuscaloosa, Alabama? Or the enormous outbreak a couple weeks before that, which together comprised the most active April for tornadoes in U.S. history? No, that doesn't mean anything. It is far better to think of these as isolated, unpredictable, discrete events. It is not advisable to try to connect them in your mind with, say, the fires burning across Texas. Fires that have burned more of America at this point this year than any wildfires have in previous years. Texas and adjoining parts of Oklahoma and New Mexico are drier than they've ever been. The drought is worse than that of the Dust Bowl. But do not wonder if they're somehow connected. If you did wonder, you see, you would also have to wonder about whether this year's record snowfalls and rainfalls across the Midwest, resulting in record flooding along the Mississippi, could somehow be related. And then you might find your thoughts wandering to, oh, global warming, and to the fact that climatologists have been predicting for years that as we flood the atmosphere with carbon, we will also start both drying and flooding the planet, since warm air holds more water vapor than cold air. It's far smarter to repeat to yourself the comforting mantra that no single weather event can ever be directly tied to climate change. There have been tornadoes before, and floods. That's the important thing. Just be careful to make sure you don't let yourself wonder why all of these record-breaking events are happening in such proximity. That is, why there have been unprecedented mega-floods in Australia, New Zealand, and Pakistan in the past year. Why it's just now that the Arctic has melted for the first time in thousands of years. No, better to focus on the immediate causalities, Watch the videotape from the store cameras as the shells are blown over. Look at the news anchor man standing in his waders in the rising river as the water approaches his chest. Because if you asked yourself what it meant that the Amazon has just come through its second 100-year drought in the past 5 years, or that the pine forests across the western part of this continent have been obliterated by a beetle in the past decade, well, you might have to ask yourself other questions, such as, should President Obama really have just opened a huge swath of Wyoming to new coal mining? Should Secretary of State Hillary Clinton sign a permit this year allowing a huge new pipeline to carry oil from the tar sands of Alberta? You might also have to ask yourself, do we have a bigger problem than $4 a gallon gasoline? Better to join with the U.S. House of Representatives, which voted 240 to 184 this spring to defeat a resolution simply saying that climate change is occurring, is caused largely by human activities, and poses significant risks for public health and welfare. Propose your own physics, or ignore physics altogether. Just don't start asking yourself whether there might be some relation among last year's failed grain harvest from the Russian heat wave and Queensland's failed harvest from its record flood, and France's and Germany's current drought-related crop failures, and the death of the winter wheat crop in Texas, and the inability of Midwestern farmers to get corn planted in their sodden fields. Surely the record food prices are just freak outliers, not signs of anything systemic. It's very important to stay calm. If you got upset about any of this, you might forget how important it is not to disrupt the record profits of our fossil fuel companies. If worst ever did come to worst, it's reassuring to remember what the U.S. Chamber of Commerce told the Environmental Protection Agency in a recent filing, that there's no need to worry because, quote, populations can acclimatize to warmer climates via a range of behavioral, physiological, and technological adaptations, unquote. I'm sure that's what the residents of Joplin are telling themselves today.
And the last shot in that video is just some young guy who's obviously just gotten back to his property, just eyes bugged out, surveying just the absolute devastation, and you can read his lips just going, holy fucking shit. Now, this actually connects into what I was talking about. How do you have a balanced conversation? And this speaks to that. Don't make connections. And Kath is asking again, okay, what I just played was, I played the video, but all you heard, obviously, was the audio, of a Bill McKibben piece published at the Washington Post. You can find the video at commondreams.org. And the piece is called A Link Between Climate Change and Joplin Tornadoes? Never. But this speaks to so much of what is at the heart of most of our problems. It's the same thing that happens. We never actually talk about the elephant in the room. And I mean, at the moment, with this constant breaking of records, you know, and it's not like a thing where the planet's just like getting better at what it does. You know, it's not like a baseball hitting record or something. You know, we keep having record everything. And this all follows the modeling. So, I mean, we're talking established science and making reasoned conclusions and decisions from those conclusions. And so, you know, you can tell I'm out of practice trying to get all this that's in my head to actually come through in a stream of consciousness. I'm asked, I'm constantly asked, you know, like, what the hell's wrong with the United States? You know, just people watching, you know, like, how the hell is someone like Sarah Palin right up front. How is it we can spend more time talking about Anthony Weiner being a fucking dumbass than a vote on the debt ceiling? We're talking about, you know, to this effect this weekend. It's like high school. American politics is like high school. And that's what I see. I see a completely immature and childish group of so-called adults who, rather than get down to the business of solving some problems, create this kabuki theater where big corporations and big polluters and the banks and everybody else get whatever the hell they want and screw the rest of us. You know, in that video, the head of the Chamber of Commerce basically said there's no reason, you know, they told the EPA, there's no reason to worry about climate change because human beings will adapt. They'll adapt their behavior. We'll have technology. We'll just adapt. Don't try and fucking fix it. Don't try and reverse it. Don't worry about all the death. Because humans will adapt. And as long as they adapt and continue to consume, that's all the Chamber of Commerce gives a fuck about. Yeah, it's adapt or die. Yeah, Kathy, adapt or die. But it's adapt and die. It's not an or thing. It's adapt and die. And you know, it's not just in the United States. And I know I'm kind of all over the place here, but connecting into the you try and have a debate about any issue, and you come armed with your facts and your data, and you make your argument with the data backing you up. And at the end of the process, whoever's ideas stood up to the scrutiny of the other would win the day. But that's not what happens now. What happens now is the debate gets settled before it happens, either by the corporate media outlet deciding who they're going to have on to discuss it, which, you know, all we ever get is invisible hand economics people, the religion of the free markets. You know, and we can't have too much of that science in there. And you know, those who would be on the other side of this debate, the so-called climate change deniers, flat earthers, and you know, they get all pissy. Oh, they call us dumb, and they call us this, and they call us that. It's like, well, fuck. You know, we got a whole bunch of science here that 99.99999% says that you're fucking up yourself. I got something to stand on. When you start to find some data that pushes it the other way, come crying. Until then, eat it. But then we have the propaganda and the money will always be able to buy more freedom of expression. By buying ad time. Hey, we got a really neat one here. Channel 10, which was a Murdoch channel here, recently had its ownership change where a very, very, a woman who likes her privacy, the richest woman in Australia, a mining mogul, bought into a local Australian network. And you can see now the programming is actually shifting to be a completely anti-climate change lineup. They've given, there's a writer here. You may have come across him on the City Morning Herald. It's kind of hard to call him a writer because he's just shit. A guy by the name of Andrew Bolt. I call him Andrew Bolt. And he's kind of like the leading climate change denier guy. Well, this woman who's bought a local network has just decided to give him a show to sit there and spew crap. And portraying it as though it's a news program. This is what I mean by buying free speech. It's crazy. It's freaking crazy. Anyway, I might take a little break here. Get my head around a few things. Come back to this because I'm finding it, I'm not the type of person who likes to look at things worst case scenario, negative. But if my home country doesn't start to grow up, and I'm not talking about the people listening to this program, but it's elected leadership. And 30 to 40% of the population who, for whatever reason, allow themselves to be corporate puppets. I mean, come on, the Tea Party. If there's ever been a bunch of people who have been scammed, so scammed, I mean brilliantly scammed. To quote the Reverend Jesse Jackson, this is my favorite description of the Tea Party. He refers to them as being turkeys at their own Thanksgiving. Which I think is spot on. It's absolutely just brilliant. Because it nails them. They'll actually take the money and the bus rides from the very people that want to profit off of them. Damage their health, take away their rights, and with the likes of Freedom Works and the Koch brothers and the like, how do you change this? How do you change this? Ends up being the question. How the hell do you change this? I don't know. I just don't know. Anyway. You're listening to Head On with Bob Kincaid. I'm John Fox, getting my head around back what it is to do radio again. Going to get my stuff together. If you want to get in on the program, the number to dial in, sorry, don't have the toll free. It's 304-574-7811. That's 304-574-7811. You listen to the horn. We'll be right back. Norwood yesterday makes me want to stay. What this is real makes me want to steal. Living on the house, guess I'm living on my. I got this time, got no meaning just.
Means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to Head Out with Bob Kincaid. I am John Fox, your guest host for the rest of the week. If you want to ring in, the number is 304-574-7811, 304-574-7811. And it looks like we might even have a caller, so let's get over there, and we'll get over there. And how you going? It's John. Welcome to the program.
304-574-7811.
Hello. Who we got?
Well, John, hi, it's Cossack.
Hey, Cossack, how are you, buddy?
Still hanging in there.
I don't know how y'all are doing it over there, man. It's just really, really strange. I didn't think the place was going to go quite down this weird black hole that it has the last couple of years. But what are you bringing?
Just to point out the insanity of that portion of the public that you're talking about, the you know, the everything's fine, you know.
Well, I mean, dude, so you were getting what I was kind of on about, it's really weird. It's like going into a debate with half your brain tied behind your back.
Yeah. Well, I have an acquaintance who is dates back to the days of muscle cars and so forth, and he's constantly whining about the the cost of gasoline. Why can't it be 25 cents like it was when he was growing up? And I'm going, don't you understand that oil is a limited resource? It's running out. He goes, no, there's tons of oil. It replaces itself.
Oh, where did you ask him where he got that from?
His constant buddies on the radio. Yeah, you know, he's heavily into listening to right-wing radio, but he says it doesn't really affect him. And yet he spews all this crap.
It's like an old guitar player friend of mine who said that he was in no way influenced by the Beatles.
Right.
Yeah, and you expose yourself to it. Especially if you know, just as a listener, you know, it'd be different if you or I were to sit in front of Fox News, because we'd be doing it with a counter-biased critical eye.
Right.
But the average person, you hear some bullshit non-factoid repeated, you know, 150 times during a week while you're driving and in the office. That thing's going to come up in your brain as though it's actually a true factoid.
Correct. And people don't seem to understand how out of whack they are. Well, let me back up a little bit. This acquaintance of mine, he's a high school dropout, and every time I try and argue with him, he gets all snippy and says, well, hey, no, you're right, and I'm not, because I have a shitload of science under my belt. I've actually studied this stuff. I actually understand what people are talking about. I don't believe that crude recreates itself at the bottom of dead wells.
It's a magic bottomless oil well. Neat. Sorry, I'm waiting to see some GOP wife writing the kids' book about the magic oil well.
Yeah, I mean, he's sitting here and telling me, oh, we've got more oil here than Saudi Arabia, and I'm going, what? Where have you been? We did at the turn of last century.
Yeah, and if we did, we would be importing it in such great quantities. Why? And we'd be.
Oh, you don't want stars.
You know, you think bloody BP really wants to go out and build those big expensive platforms out in the middle of the ocean if they actually had access to it without having to go through all that effort? Shit.
They're just waiting for the price to go up.
There's a certain amount of you know, lack of common sense, and this ties into something before you rang in, where one of the things I was going to jump to from that, you know, loose tirade about the clueless arguing over crumbs is in the UK. See, it's not just the United States, and we got some weird shit going on here, because we're actually entertaining the idea of a carbon tax here at the moment. So, of course, you know, everybody and their mothers out there screaming with their own paid-for modeling, sitting there going, oh, carbon tax is going to, you know, kill, you know, 500,000 coal jobs. Wait, there aren't 500,000 coal jobs in the country. Oh, wait, don't look at that. But in the UK, There is a push to remove climate change from the science curriculum, and they're actually saying, let's get back to the science in science. Like here, trying to make pushes, you know, isn't it in your institutions of education where this stuff is supposed to be, like, debated and tested while you're teaching, you know, the basics of chemistry or biology or this or that? Wouldn't you include modern scientific issues in your discussions? I mean, science isn't a stagnant thing. And so, you know, here is an attempt to remove any and all ammunition from the debate by even, you know, intentionally removing climate change from science curricula in schools.
We don't need no stinking science.
But, you know, this idea of let's get back to the science and science, it's like, wait a minute, no, it's all science. How do you, a non-scientist, go and tell an educator how to teach science? If there are modern issues that apply, that science applies to, aren't you immediately going to be dealing with those issues in your classes? I just don't, it's an intentional dumbing down, and that's in the UK.
Oh, yeah. Well, the dumbing down has been going on for a long time, unfortunately. You know, I go back to a time that when I was a kid, they were still offering Latin and Greek in high schools.
Oh, yeah, man.
People were actually learning it.
Yeah. I was in the very last Latin class in my high school. Yeah, and that was in the 80s, and there were like six of us, and it, and I couldn't believe it. You know, it's like, of all the languages, I would think Latin would be one of the highest to have.
Yeah.
You know, like you'd even hang on to just one period of it on your curriculum so that those students that, you know, might go into, say, biology, or might want to be a translator. Hell, you know, learn Latin halfway there to everything else, you know. But no, it, you know.
Correct.
Not even allowing the options. I'm finding the debate being on everything being so shrunken down to such a tight little focus. And you can't stray from, like I said, Coke or Pepsi options.
Exactly. Well, it's kind of like our brilliant political system over here, where, you know, you're either a Democrat or a Republican.
Yeah.
And there is no other choice.
And so if you're only being pulled in either of two directions, you're just going to go back and forth. There's nothing that's pulling anybody to, you know, in an alternate direction from either of those two, and it just seems to be a self-serving, you know, let's fiddle while Rome burns kind of thing. You know, being that it's Moran Monday, like, just because he was a guy that I really, really liked, and I think he's just shown himself to be a complete and utter fucking idiot, is Anthony Weiner. Why the fuck does this guy go and do this? Just giving yet another distraction when we could be having debates about, oh, I don't know, the $6 billion fucking dollars that disappeared from Iraq that they're finally reporting on that we've known about it for years. Or,
yeah.
You know, just name a bloody subject. You know, so.
$6 billion with a B.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't an accounting error.
Yeah.
You know?
This was cash. Here, let's fly a whole bunch of cash over. Everybody just bring your duffel bags and load the fuck up.
Right.
You know, and this is why, like, you know, I see guys like Glenn Beck, or, you know, not even guys as bad or as weird as he is, who make these incredible statements about conspiracies and all other kinds of things. Why do you need a conspiracy when they're screwing you over while looking you in the eye?
Yeah. That's not a conspiracy. Right.
That's you don't need one. If the people will allow you to sit there and just, like, steal from them right in front of you. You know, everything with the banks. And even though he's not my favorite guy in the world, but Obama doesn't even get credit for the shit that he has done. So again, where this lunacy of, you know.
Well, he's done so pathetic little in reality.
Yeah, but like I got to give him, you know, something that I disagreed with when he did it, but he proved me wrong, was the Detroit bailout. I got to give it to him. It worked. We made our money back and then some. And all those, you know, small parts manufacturers and stuff didn't go down, and Detroit actually has green vehicles coming off the line, you know, that people want. And
yeah.
And so, like, wow, I was one of the people going, let them fold. They haven't built anything that anybody's wanted to buy. They haven't pushed innovation. But Obama used the bailout as a way to put them, you know, put the thumb down on them and going, you will have a hybrid vehicle by such and such a date. You will have
right.
a fully electric vehicle by such and such a date if you want this bailout money. And funny, a little bit of pressure, a little bit of regulation, and look. Bloody Chevy Volt is the most sought after alternative fuel vehicle, you know, ever to be released.
Yeah.
And it's showing, well, you know, and so again, we actually have that reality of something that worked that's different than what we've been doing. And that message doesn't even get through, even though that is a tangible reality. But it's as though it doesn't exist.
Well, that and the fact that, gee, a lot of these cars are actually coming out with something other than how many gallons per mile do you want to go? They're finally learning that maybe, you know, people actually want cars that are efficient. If for no other reason, because of the high price of gas.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, like in that video it says, I think we have a bigger problem than $4 a gallon gas when it comes to the world in general. And I do believe that if petrol prices were higher, it would be one of the best things that could happen, actually, for the whole climate change thing, because people's habits would have to change. They're already changing because of the price of petrol now. People are already
yeah.
changing their habits. And this is where a carbon tax can be, if implemented properly, the way to go on the grander scheme of carbon and emissions reductions, because it does actually change people's behavior. And that's probably the part where the deniers can't stomach the issue if they looked at it. It's because it is actually asking people to change their behavior in a measured way, but it's being portrayed as though you have to give up all of your niceties and you have to give up every modern convenience. And you'll have
Correct.
To give up your comfy car, and you'll have to give up your comfy this and your comfy that. When there's a little bit of that, but that ain't the whole picture.
Well, the thing is, you can't, as I try desperately to explain to this acquaintance of mine, like it or not, oil is a limited resource.
Exactly.
It does not replenish itself. Well, it does. It does in the course of millions of years. That's not going to matter to you or me.
Yeah.
Okay. But for crying out loud, don't you understand? Have what the 25 cent a gallon gas that you had when you were a kid. It's not going to happen, no matter what happens.
Even if you just used inflation, it couldn't possibly be. Even if you didn't talk about the wars and all that cost. Just inflation, you couldn't possibly have 25 cents a gallon gas. I mean, the guy's just living in a netherworld.
Yeah, well, he wants to go back to the days of the muscle cars and the 3 miles a gallon that they ran. And I'm sorry, you can't do that.
It doesn't work anymore.
No. You can't simply sit there and live like nothing in the world touches you. It does, like it or not.
That's,
the world actually, you actually are a part of the world, like it or not.
Yeah, and, you know, this is something that Bob's always talking about with the MTR thing, you know, trying to constantly make the point to, you know, no matter where you live in America, you're connected to what's happening to them down there. And
we're all downstream.
Yeah.
Like it or not.
I've been getting really, really great reports back about this film, too. I'm wondering if any of the listeners have actually had a chance to see it yet. The Last Mountain, which Bob was at the premiere of with Robert Kennedy Jr. and all that, and supposedly is just going great guns. Now got to just... Bob's mugs made it like all over the cinema sites. He's on an Australian site as like the iconic image for the film. It's great. But when I opened the show, when I was looking at coming on today, I'm like, you know, holy crap, I haven't been doing this in so long. It's like, where am I going to start? You know, I can't just like jump in on any particular one issue, because just everything would feel so out of context with what my view of what's going on over there is, which I just see as a whole bunch of infighting little kids on the deck of a ship that's going down and no one's paying attention.
Exactly. I mean, we're busily redecorating the deck of the Titanic as the bow's going down. Don't you think this is a little bit late for that?
Yeah. Well, you know, like, you know, we end up in these like stupid fights over, you know, debt ceilings and all that kind of stuff where that's not dealing with an issue. That's taking an ideological stand to just stop government from working, which ends up feeding that side because, you know, they have that whole idea that, you know, government doesn't work, so the more they can monkey wrench it to make it look like it doesn't work, the more it helps them out. So, you know, I mean, we always end up in the same situation. Democrats and the left like to see things happen, so we will work with opposing administrations when they're in power to actually get things through and make things happen. The Democrats get in, it's the exact opposite. There's no intention to get anything done.
Oh, no. We can't allow the opposition to do anything because automatically that would show that we're nothing but lying sacks of shit. That's what it comes down to. And in a way, I kind of hope that the Republicans do opt out of raising the debt limit and then watch as the world crumbles around them and say, oops. But then it's going to be too late. You're going to say, oops.
Yeah.
And the egg is already splattered on the floor.
And you know, not even just the, like, I'm totally into that idea of let them hang themselves on it if they want to. But, you know, is your ideology so important that you would actually stop cops and firemen and other civil servants from getting their paychecks Would you, you know, because I mean, it is on that credit, it is on all that credit reporting and rating shit that states and local governments take, you know, pay payroll, you know, and various other things, you know, as they wait for the federal or state money or whatever money to come in to actually pay for it. So, you know, I mean, come on, you know, like, and that just shows the complete cold and hard-heartedness of that ideology. You know, screw you, adapt and die, in fact.
Correct. I mean, you know, fine. We can adapt. Okay, you can adapt if it gets a little bit colder. You can throw on another layer of clothes. After the temperature gets to 120 and you're down to your skivvies, what else do you do to adapt, dummy?
Well, and it's not, and you know, okay, okay, this area gets hotter. People migrate out of it to, you know, someplace that's cooler, this, that, and the other thing. But you can't climatize yourself to the extreme event.
No.
You know, I feel so bad for the folks in Christchurch, New Zealand, because they just got hit with 12 more quakes overnight. And there's one woman there, I think, summed up what it's got to be like for them is, yeah, you know, we can rebuild, we can do this, we can do that. But she's just like, it's just really, really exhausting.
Yeah.
And, you know.
It's not just a question of rebuilding. Let's go to Fukushima.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the news has stopped. The event hasn't. You know, they're admitting post-fact that they've released many times more radiation than was released at Chernobyl.
Yeah.
They're finally admitting it. They've got three reactors with cores on the floor, possibly the fourth as well. One of the reactors is tilting over precariously and may well end up sinking.
The place's going to be uninhabitable.
Of course, it already is.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and this is another thing that, you know, we like. You know, how many more times does something like what happened overnight have to happen in Christchurch before the New Zealand government says, we just got to abandon Christchurch?
Yeah.
You know, and now that's an earthquake, which I'm starting to wonder whether some of this a lot of the quakes we've had in the last couple of years have been closer to the surface than normal. And I'd really like to know if fracking has an impact on that.
Very possibly.
Okay. I just, you know, a totally layman, but I got to ask, if we're sitting there constantly fracturing the very, very top crust, is that going to make, when an earthquake happens, worse and appear to be a more shallow quake with higher amount with you know, higher levels of devastation, which is what happened in Christchurch and has happened in a few other places. But, you know, we end up Fukushima. How many places on this planet are already looking like they're going to have to be abandoned because they can't support life or they're dangerous to life?
Well, there's going to be more of them every year at the rate we're going.
Well, I mean, you know, we've got dead zones in the sea. There's nothing living there. You know, we're not just talking about human life here. You know, if everything's connected, you know.
Yeah. Well, there are dead zones in the Gulf, which nobody wants to talk about.
Yep.
You have the fishermen down here screaming and bitching about how crazy the federal government is for limiting their catch when their catches aren't as large as they were because the fish aren't there. Bloody fishery has collapsed.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. You're limiting my catch, but you can't catch as much as I'm letting you catch. Yeah, but you're limiting my, yeah. It kind of explains why those limits are in place.
Yeah.
And we have the same problem, you know, off the coast of Queensland and whatnot. We have you know, okay controls, but we have problems with other nations coming into our waters and totally overfishing.
Right.
And
usually the Japanese, their factory ships.
Yeah. Well, they actually cut the whale hunt early this year. The Sea Shepherd caused them enough pain in the ass that they just, it was too expensive for them to stay out in the water.
Good
on them. But hey, Koss, I'm gonna take the top of the hour break a little bit late here. But thanks for ringing in, man, and you know, keep working on that gearhead buddy of yours. You might get through to him at some point, you know. And you know, just, you know, seriously, ask him where the magic oil well is. You got a friend in Australia that would really like to know.
Will do.
All right, Cossack. Take care of yourself, man. Thank you very much.
All right, take care, John.
All right, man. Take care. And that was our buddy Cossack, and we're going to get out of here and take the top of the hour break. And I think that this is an appropriate track for the subject. We'll get out of here with the Screaming Jets, the heart of the matter. You listen to the horn, America's liberal voice. Hey, don't forget to hit that contribute button just because Bob's on the road. We got to keep him going. Some big stuff happening, Netroots Nation, all that. We'll be back.
Like I say,
want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Head On with Bob Kincaid. I am John Fox, your guest host for the week. The number for to get in on the program is 304-574-7811, 304-574-7811, and Gene just sent me a Naomi Klein thing here, and we'll just finish getting rid of the music there, and then we'll have to flip the link over here. Gene, my buddy, comes up with the goods. From Celsius.com, which is a great environmental website. There's a piece here. Why do so many people seek to deny climate change science? Because to accept it would challenge their entire worldview. Naomi Klein. And I think this is probably what I was trying to get at and didn't even realize it, for the first 30 minutes of the program. But, it says here, Naomi Klein says here, in an interview, on Democracy Now!, we've just ended the hottest decade on record. There's overwhelming evidence that climate change is real now. It's not just about reading the science. It's about people's daily experience. And yet, we've seen this remarkable drop where in 2007, 71%, this is a Harris poll, 71% of Americans believed climate change was real. And 2 years later, 51% of Americans believed it. So a 20% drop, and we've seen a similar dramatic similarly dramatic, just the floor dropping out, in the same period in Australia, in the UK. It's not just happening everywhere. It's happening in countries that have very polarized political debates where they have very strong culture wars. There's some people who have been doing, some really interesting analysis of these numbers where you see, like, there's a political scientist named Clive Hamilton in Australia who's done some really terrific writing on this. Where what he shows is that climate change didn't used to be a partisan political issue. You wouldn't know whether somebody believed in climate change or not just by asking if they were Republican or Democrat. That's completely changed. Democrats overwhelmingly believe in climate change. That hasn't, their position hasn't changed. Republicans now don't, overwhelmingly do not believe in climate change. So that drop has been split along partisan lines. Now, it seems kind of obvious that that this would be the case, but it's still remarkable because what it means is that no longer does anything really have to do with science. Sorry, just having some bad transcription. I'm not quite sure. And the environmental movement has just been shocked by how it would be possible to lose so much ground so quickly when there is so much more scientific evidence. So that, you know, there are all kinds of attempts to respond to this, to get climate scientists out there explaining things better, to popularize the science, and none of it seems to be working. And the reason is that climate change is now seen as an identity issue on the right. It's people are defining themselves. like they're against abortion. They don't believe in climate change. It's part of who they are. So it's not based on the science. They're just hope. It's this idea like public opinion can change science, which it can't. So Amy Goodman asked her, you know, what does it say? And what does it say? You don't believe in climate change. And Naomi says, well, some people believe in climate change, but the main thing is they don't believe that humans have anything to do with climate change. And it isn't about the science, because when you delve deeper into it and ask why people don't believe in it, they say that it's because they think it's a socialist plot to redistribute wealth. And lots of it's easy to make fun of, you know, and there's all this language like watermelons, and they say the green groups are watermelons. They're green on the outside, but they're red on the inside. Or George Will once said, it's a green tree with red roots, and the idea is that some sort of communist plot. And this is, as I was saying earlier, actually not at all true. And in fact, most of the big green groups are loath to talk about economics and often don't want to see themselves as being part of a left at all. See climate change as an issue that transcends politics, which most subjects should transcend politics, where the politics has the to and fro over the merits of a policy regarding an issue. It's, you know, it's a really strange concept. That something like science has become a partisan issue. It's just completely insane. You know, is gravity a partisan issue? Are the laws of conservation of energy a partisan issue? How did we get here? And I think the only explanation can be the money. The money in politics. You know, and now with Citizens United, that decision that's just opened up the floodgates. The Koch brothers and others decide it's time to back Republicans. They say we have lots of money for Republicans. As long as you say this, 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 and this. Appears to me to be the definition of corruption. I don't think that that's strong language. And we live in a time where who has the louder blowhorn wins the argument of what is true. How is that a democracy in any way, shape, or form? We elect him, but they pay him. We cast our vote saying, you're the guy or the woman who's going to represent me and where I live. And they go, thanks for the vote. Hey, got to go and look at the donor list and check in. Nope, can't accept that. Nope, can't accept that. Nope, can't accept that. They only stand on their money.
Well,
last week, and my other nominee for Moran, King Moran Monday, would have to be Newt Gingrich. And last week, until Rachel Maddow did a bit on the book shill and the DVD shill that guy is, I didn't realize he was kind of like Alex Jones in that way. That, you know, he was constantly putting out books and his own media, and but, you know, you would have heard last week that his entire staff just bolted on him. And he's a great example of how just corrupted by money so many of these people are. Here's a guy who's supposedly going to be running for president. Gets caught out with a $500,000 charge account to Tiffany's. Now, that alone just completely separates him from 99 point whatever percent of the population. None of us have a charge account at Tiffany's, and if we do, it's not worth a $500,000. But see, that didn't mean anything. Oh, that's just a standard thing. Don't talk to me. Talk to Tiffany's. Why would you have to talk to Tiffany's? If you got the money and you want to open up a charge account with them and your credit's good enough, they're going to take it. It's not Tiffany's job to worry about your ethics, motherfucker. So, if that isn't enough, then the son of a bitch goes on a Greek island cruise, I think it was. And could you just see, like, everyone in Gingrich's 2012 presidential exploratory surgery office all simultaneously face-palming? And all looking at one another just going, yep, no, fuck it, out of here. What's that Perry guy up to? Seems to be the vibe of many of the punditry, is that most of Gingrich's now former staff are going to go and work for Perry. Because I was going to talk about Gingrich, like, I just found this hilarious, you know, the ultimate just kick your own self in your own ass. But I had to go and have a look over at the Gingrich website. So, and by the way, we have a show post finally up for today. Thank you, Betsy. And if you want to get on the program, the number to dial in, it's on your nickel today, 304-574-7811, 304-574-7811. I gotta find this thing. Where is it? Okay. So I go to newt.org. And the first thing that screams out at me is this thing in the sidebar. And it's like, okay, the Stepford wife has to have her little spot. So there's this little column called Calicita's Canvas, right? And okay, Charity of the Month, Boy Scouts of America. Okay, fine. Then screening the Rediscovering God in America with the Minnesota Family Council. All right, that sounds creepy. Then I see premiere of A City Upon a Hill. Oh, boy. So I guess this is supposed to be a bit like a press release. And so this is from Calicita Gingrich. Newt and I were excited. We're excited to premiere our latest documentary. See more. See, this is the Alex Jones thing, right? Produce your own propaganda, and then run for office. Newt and I were excited to premiere our latest documentary, A City Upon a Hill, The Spirit of American Exceptionalism, on Friday, April 29th at the Carnegie Institute for Science in Washington, D.C. The documentary is our seventh film at Gingrich Productions, which we produced in partnership with Citizens United and Peace River Company. Citizens United, yeah, that's Citizens United. The documentary reminds us that America is a unique nation founded on the truth that our rights come from God and not a king or government. This freedom has provided Americans the opportunity to accomplish some of history's greatest achievements, developing into a model community for the rest of the world, or as John Winthrop described in 1630, a city upon a hill. Wow, you couldn't find a more recent quote? Anyway, unfortunately today, many misunderstand why America is an exceptional nation, often claiming that we are no different from other nations. But American exceptionalism is not a matter of arrogance. It's a recognition that we are a unique nation based on individual liberty, dignity, and personal responsibility. Blah! If we forget this, we will be in danger of surrendering our rights as individuals. The opposite of what our founding fathers envisioned for America. Opposite America, you see. As citizens, we must ensure America remains an exceptional nation founded on our rights to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. At the moment, I'm also writing a children's book due out in September about American exceptionalism that will teach children why America is a unique country. The book, Sweet Land of Liberty, features Ellis the Elephant, who will guide children on a tour through our nation's history. More updates on Ellis still to come. What the fuck? A kid's book with Ellis the Elephant? Sweet Land of Liberty. Oh my God, it sounds like a brown shirt kid's book. See, there you go. Kind of like, it's all right there. It's all right there. The Gingriches are shills. I mean, you know, this is the guy that emails people saying, you've won an award from my mob. If you'd like to accept this award, please send us a check for $5,000. Yep, he did that. You're great. Pay me $5,000. Shit. In my line of work, I'd be a rich man if I got paid $5,000 every time I told somebody they were great. But there you go. An American exceptionalism with Citizens United. American exceptionalism sponsored by Citizens United. It's creepy. I find it really, really, really creepy. Ellis the Elephant. Now, I did notice that here at newt.org, there hasn't been much activity as of late. Now, supposedly there's a Republican debate on tonight, and Newt's going to be there. I'm surprised that he's going to that debate. I thought he'd be just packing up. But he's probably got debts, probably wants to milk the donations for a little while longer, sell a few more books, sell a few more DVDs. And again, here's another great thing where, you know, another example of, you know, never having the actual conversation. We're talking more about the also-rans and the might-be-runnings in the GOP field. We're talking more about them than we are the people who are actually in the race. It's just nuts. But Newt Gingrich has got to be up there for Moran of the Month. But since I haven't gotten any more nominees in, no one's emailed me or anything. But that's all right. It's probably a small audience out there today. I think most people thought there would be nothing on. Excuse me. This wet weather has just got me all kind of stuffed up, so excuse my clearing sounds. Not the best radio. But I'm going to take a break here in a minute, and if you want to get on the program, 304-574-7811, 304-574-7811. And I'm hoping, actually, while I'm off on the break, I might see if I can dredge him up. I'm not sure exactly what Bob will have had on his agenda today, but maybe we can get a check-in from the old Bob Kincaid here before the show's finished. But Where to go? But as far as Moran's, my two nominees, Gingrich, and the other one, I'm sorry, has got to be Anthony Weiner. I have not been so disappointed in a guy that I thought had so much promise. And again, I think he should be able to survive this for a whole lot of reasons, which I might get into later. But I don't really want to play on this subject too much, because I think it's just another really convenient distraction, even though, sorry, man, you're an idiot. You're a fucking idiot. You're in a position like you're in. And you're a web-savvy guy. Obviously are. Even if you're doing this kind of stuff, you're doing it in such a way that can be so easily found out. I mean, come on. Moron. You're an idiot. And it's just a huge disappointment because it's a guy that I actually liked. And I don't think that this should be the end of his career. I really don't. And it probably won't be, you know. I mean, you really got to feel like an idiot when you get into a sex scandal and you actually didn't get any. And I know that I'm taking a line from a million and one different comics in the past week. But, you know, really. Just a really, just an embarrassment to your party. Even though your party is an embarrassment to itself most of the time. But anyway. Stupid. But so for me, winning hands down is Anthony this week. Just, you know, not once during the process did you go like, oh wow, man, this is kind of risky. Fucking moron. Anyway. All right, I'm gonna thin out the stack here a little bit, and let's find us some music to go out on. Not that. It's a little disorganized over here. It's been a while since I've done this. I had to reconfigure the whole room just to get going for today. So far, so good. I was really starting to worry this morning with the weather and everything that we've been having, whether my connection was going to be good enough, but it seems to be all good now. If I can find this thing that I'm looking for. Yeah, there we go. All right, you're listening to The Horn. You're listening to Head On with Bob Kincaid. I'm John Fox, taking a bit of a break, going to sort through the stack. And if you want to get in on the conversation, 304-574-7811, 304-574-7811. We'll be back.
you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at CityNet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention
$24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit CityNet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Welcome back to Head On with Bob Kincaid. I am John Fox, your replacement host for the week, coming to you from central coast of Australia. A really wet, wet, wet place at the moment. And yeah. This song's for you, Mr. Wiener. Anyway, actually, I played that Joan Jett tune because I was scanning through looking for tunes to come back on. Seeing the Joan Jett stuff in the playlist made me think about a gig that I've been working on the last couple of months. I've been doing the Women's Roller Derby League here in Sydney. Running audio for it, which... What I'm doing isn't important, but the event itself is amazing. Now, I know that this has had a huge resurgence in Texas, and I know that this is, like, going off on a complete and utter tangent, but... I've now... been involved with this twice, and it's this grassroots thing. You want to check it out, you can find them at SydneyRollerDerbyLeague.com, I think, or SydneyRollerDerby.com. And this is the fastest growing sport in Australia right now, and it's this grassroots thing, and I'm telling you, these women go at it, and the entire night there's music rocking like this. Got a band as a halftime during the main bout. And they're getting huge crowds. Families coming down. It's hilarious. So any of the Australian listeners, you gotta go. It is so worth the ticket price. And there's something similar to, I don't know, grassroots rock bands and activism. It's a similar vibe to this, that these people are doing it because they love it. And it's a great time. It's a great show. And they like to rock. But anyway, Earlier, Texas Betsy was taking me to task for using the word petrol instead of saying gas. Sorry, I'm not used to saying gas for gasoline anymore. I've become so Australianized or whatever. But in the couple of minutes we have before the top of the hour break, actually another nominee for Moran and and in the Ain't Karma a Bitch column. Remember Harold Camping, the Mr. Doomsday, you know, from a couple of weeks ago, the guy who suckered a whole lot of people out of their life savings? Well, guess what? Some bitch had a stroke. Now, I know that sounds like I'm taking some sort of pleasure out of someone suffering a stroke, and I know it's kind of horrible, but you know what? This son of a bitch fed on the ignorant. And created a lot of wealth for himself and his family. Now, this could explain a little bit of the voices, maybe, but see, I doubt that. See, I think he was probably fully aware of what he was doing. Sounds like, you know, he had done the scam once before in the 90s. And like, oh, I miscalculated. So, you know, yeah, karma is a bitch. Yeah, the rapture came maybe only for you, motherfucker. But when I was talking to Cossack, I made mention of this. I mean, it's now official. I mean, we were talking about this years ago. But finally, it's official that approximately $6.6 billion in cash was likely stolen after being flown to Iraq during the months that followed the U.S.-led invasion. The Pentagon has finally said. Now we've known about this. Scahill, didn't he do a bunch of reporting on this? And you know that they were just sending cash over. Bush administration was just sending you needed a pallet jack. You know, you needed forklifts. And so, you know, like I said, you know, who needs conspiracies? Who needs socialist, you know, webs of fucking terror and all this other crap. When the thieving is happening right in front of us. And so, okay. Someone said, you know, okay, so like that's how many teachers would that have paid for? How many firefighters? How many weeks of unemployment benefits for 99ers? And it says the cash was part of a, this is from from the Raw Story. The cash was part of a series of shipments totaling more than $12 billion, taken largely from the UN Oil for Food program and from the sales of Iraqi oil. Officials in the Bush administration had hoped the massive pallets of cash would help calm Iraq's civilian population following the chaotic and violent invasion and toppling Saddam. So you reckon by sending cash, that went to the people. Really? Really? The funds, which were separate from a $53 billion appropriation Congress approved for Iraq reconstruction efforts, were cobbled together by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York before being flown to Baghdad and distributed to interim Iraqi ministers, who U.S. officials see as the most likely culprits in the theft, an allegation that's officially been leveled. Pentagon admitted last year that it could not account for over $8.7 billion in Iraq reconstruction funds. And that's about $2.6 billion of it was sent out without any documentation at all. So we're sitting there bitching and moaning and having fights over debt ceilings. And I mean bullshit fights over debt ceilings. When we can track back that the previous administration actually just lost and allowed to have stolen a big chunk of American cash. How much of that cash is on the black market? Cash? Really cash? I mean, this is the part of it that, you know, oh, we're going to say, we got funds, so you're going to send pallets, fly over pallets straight from New York. And I mean, I'll guarantee you, after I get done here, I'll go and I'll check in with the big news agencies. And they'll still be talking about Palin emails, Wiener's Wiener, Gingrich in or not. And so if there's all this budgetary shit that these that some people, especially on the right, are up screaming about, why are they not up on their soapboxes about this? This is wasting the people's money. It's theft in broad daylight. Theft in broad daylight. Incredible. But yet, we'll never deal with it. We'll never deal with it. And I know, like, you know, for a lot of people, the biggest disappointment in Obama has been the fact that he made it really clear he was not going to try and hold the Bush administration accountable for fucking anything. And when you say that, anyway, we're going to take top of the hour break, actually on time. And we're going to go out with a little tune from King's X. It's called The Mission. This one's for our stroke victim. You're listening to John Fox here, filling in for Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network. You want to get on the conversation, 304-574-7811. It's on your nickel this week, 304-574-7811. Come on, get them in here. Who else has been an idiot this week? What did I miss over the weekend? Got an issue with anything I'm saying? Bring in. We'll see you after the break. This is King's X.
you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention
$24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
No, it's not Bob. Welcome back to Head On with Bob Kincaid. I am John Fox, your fill-in host for the week. If you want to get in on the program, 304-574-7811, 304-574-7811. Saw someone ring in there during the break and then lost him. You didn't feel like holding. Get back in on it now. I'm not used to doing this filibobster thing. So, you know, y'all got to help me out here a little bit. stream should all be good there, CLB. And seeing something in the chat room here about that there's a domain, gop.gov. Yeah, I thought gov was, you know, like a domain strictly for government. No idea. Weird. Anyway, so as I was surfing around this morning, you know,
we have a call.
Hey, it's John. Welcome to the program. Who we got?
Hi there. Fancy in Tucson.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. It's been a while since I've done this. I'm feeling like a little bit like I need the training wheels back again, but I'll get it back
yeah.
over the next couple of days.
It's kind of like riding a bike, I would think.
Yeah, a little bit. Aside from just that, I feel so frustrated at everything I see from over there.
Yeah, I'm coming in from a different direction on the wiener thing. That was a redundant statement.
It's so hard. It's
so hard not to make a joke.
And there I did it again. You know, like you're just going to go down a bad way. So we just have to be mature about this and move forward.
There's no way. You know, okay. When Bill Clinton had his indiscretion, I was so disappointed. He was my guy, and I really felt bad. And I felt that he was not only unfaithful and. To his wife, he was unfaithful to me, and I really had that sensation. And then the only thing, when it got worse, was John Edwards, because I thought John Edwards was just something extremely special.
Well, so I'm with you there. He was my guy back. What was it, 2000?
Oh, hey, what a special human being! And I totally I took it very personally that this horn dog did what he did.
Yeah.
Now, with Mark Wiener, and here's. I like Mark Wiener. I've lived in New York enough to know that he is like a New Yorker.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Southern, and I'm sweet, and I say, bless your heart, and New Yorkers say, what do you want? You know, they're very direct, and I like that in him.
Yeah.
I like where he was going with a lot of things. And I am a, okay, here's where we're going. The whole new internet media thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you get to read a lot of pornography and you get to write some of it too. And listen, man, I can give good text. We'll just talk, we won't even start with that, but never under my own name. I had a friend who just fought it for years. He was anything I want to look up, I can look up at the library. I don't need a computer. So finally the dude, two of our friends both got new computers and gave him the old ones. So I said, well, look, I'll spend a little time teaching you how to do this. We'd known each other years and years and years. We'd never had a fight. At one point I thought, well, I'm going to have to kill him. He'd been playing with his computer for 3 or 4 months and he had his email down and he knew how to Google. And I said, okay, now I'm going to take you into the chat room. Said, but there's some basic rules here. Never give your real name. Never, 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 never give your real name. Don't, just assume that the other person is a fiction. You know, and I just went through the warnings. Well, of course, this dude, and he's a gay guy, and he immediately just meant the cutest little thing you ever saw, who was going to move here and move in with him. And I'm going, oh, no, 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 no. You don't want to do this. And, well, he's going to go to school here, and he can live at my house. And we don't, and I said, how much money does he want for you to get him here? Well, it's just, no, we're not doing this. But, you know, and it's kind of an interesting issue. But when we look at World of Warcraft and Sims and Second Life, you really do have people who are the best I can think of is that you're reading pornography, but you're also half writing it.
Well, you know, I was kind of giving him a serve before, but it might not exactly express everything that I. How I feel on the subject. Like, I think what the guy does in his private life should be his private life. And he wasn't out there professing to be holier than thou or anything, you know, so, you know.
I think, at one, he gets an A in absolute stupidity.
That's the thing, you know. You
use your real name? Excuse me.
You're an up and...
You know, that's what's funny...
You're an up-and-coming guy that the people like, that some of your constituents don't necessarily like so much. So for him, public opinion is everything. You know, we looked at him as one of our guys, but he wasn't really one of the Democrats' guys because he'd hold the Democrats' feet to the fire.
And I liked his... Oh, gosh, yeah. As a New Yorker, he fit.
Oh, yeah.
And I liked it, and I liked him. And I'm really sorry that he just, you know, turned out to have industrial strength stupidity in this area. And I think it's a real delicate line about, now see, I'm not in a committed relationship and I can spend as much time on my computer doing anything I want and it's fine.
Yeah.
If I were neglecting a family doing it, it would be a whole different game. I think it's a delicate area between... Now, you know, honestly, we know that just the pornography industry grosses more money than all professional sports, including roller derby, put together.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, which means...
And Disney owns the company, or they may have just recently sold it off, but for a long time Disney owned the light porn outfit that would be in every hotel room.
Oh, gosh, yeah. We've got to be aware that this is an incredible industry, and I've written film. I've done film work with it. I've done my favorite one is I edited a book for somebody that we know in our family, and their particular area is SM something bondage whatever, mm-hmm. and so I'm editing this thing. Now, this does not happen to trip my trigger. This is not an area that I'm thrilled with. So, I mean, there were moments where I just longed for a good technical manual. But I'm riding away, and I talked to my daughter, and I said, I'm covering this book for Mike, and Mike's readers will not be troubled with verbs that don't agree, with sentences ending in prepositions, and we're saving them from any dangling participles. And my daughter says, I don't think Mike's readers care about dangling participles.
I don't think so.
But, nah. And, yeah, if you're ever in the market for a good flogger, I can get you a deal, though. My theory is whatever trips your trigger, as long as you're not hurting yourself or other people, do it.
I'm totally with that, but it's the whole thing though. But if you're aspiring in politics,
yeah, different set, or religion.
Yeah, it's a
or,
different.
We expect our pastors and our rabbis and our imams to be above us in their behavior. And that's all. It's a double standard, yes. But if you're going to be in the religious business, you pretty much have to give up Second Life or Sims or. On the other hand, now I'm thinking, no, wait. You could go into Second Life as a missionary. You could have.
You talk about like Edwards, right? Now there is a guy that like I'm much more disappointed in, right? Because I'm with you, like his whole Two Americas thing. I really think he had his finger on something there, and I think he got hijacked. But I'm wondering. I'd love to know when the switch went off in him where. He seemed to lose the plot with his own
apparently,
ego.
Apparently, if we believe what his aide said, is in this one area, he was a little kid. He was going, whoops, they're going to find out. Find me a hidey hole. Where can I hide? He apparently, had it up till this particular area of his life.
Because, there was actually a time where he just seemed to take on an arrogance, and I don't know if that was something that I picked up in media portrayal, but
the problem, what problem period, where he was denying everything.
Yeah, and the whole thing about the woman who paid for the haircuts that they made such a big deal about, that all gets it all gets very very shifty, and I think there is a case to be made for if he used campaign funds and people funneled money through his campaign in which to cover some of this shit up. Well, if an example's got to be made, go for it. Because, this again is he set himself up with the higher standard. Similar to the way that many Republicans on these moral issues can set themselves up as being holier than thou. And does that make it seem like a bigger fall?
Well, and now there's a new book out. Larry Flint has a new book out on the indiscretions of presidents. And there was a time where, frankly, it didn't matter. We talk about the Roosevelts,
yep.
both Eleanor and Franklin, and it was known that they had special people in their lives. But it was not a period where everything was out and out on the... the image I'm getting in my mind, this is an interesting thought, why it came to me. When you live out where you're out in the on the county roads in my county, and people can see your clothesline from the road, the kids are taught to hang the clothes in such a way that the sheets and the big clothes are on the outside, and the undies are kind of in the on the middle lines, so that the people driving by can't see your underwear. And I think that that I think that was the period of
right.
indiscretions. You know, there's a possibility that Abraham Lincoln was just a lot more interesting than we think.
Well, I was just going to go somewhere, and then reading in the chat room, I got sidetracked because I saw someone going, but what about David Vitter? It's like, oh, you want to open up that can of worms.
Oh, well, it's all right if you're a Republican, says our friend Bob.
Yeah, oh, yeah, and I mean, there's so much of that in the whole hubbub, you know. Anytime it's a Democrat, they, you know, go extra nuts and seem like the Democrats...
I think somehow, though, in my mind, there's a difference between... hands-on and virtual, and basically what Wiener is guilty of is letting his imagination go way too public.
Did you happen to see Real Time with Bill Maher this weekend?
No, I didn't. But I heard that he read. They read the transcript.
Oh yeah, with the
he
woman
and
the woman from Glee.
Lynch.
It was
Jane Lynch.
Yes, it was almost hard to stomach, but the fact that it was unedited and exactly as it went was so unbelievably hilarious. They actually read out one of the text conversations between Wiener and one of these women.
And I understand there was an underage woman in there, which does change the dynamics considerably.
Well, and see, this again falls into the stupidity thing there, Fancy. On the Internet, like you said, always have to assume that the person on the other end is lying about who they are. And
oh, heck, yeah. I mean, you go into a chat room and every guy has monumental measurements. it's awesome.
You were talking about past transgressions by presidents and whatnot. And you know, if you go back to, like, Kennedy and, say, the Marilyn Monroe thing, right? At that time, politicians who, at the time... Were they more focused on getting the job done at the time so that all this other stuff was just considered side stuff? And now, because they're not doing crap, that all we have to talk about is that.
And maybe this is one of those you can't serve wieners without beans or vice versa, that you get these this goes with that theory in your mind. But somehow for me, when you brought in Kennedy, it really hit that men with really high sexual energy can be very productive people. And they can be very good people.
Yeah.
And it's because in using that Kennedy model for me, I like dealing with men with very high sexual energy when you know, all I do is banter, but there's something there that I like very much, and whole person, which is above the belt.
Yeah, well, they'll tend to be engaging, you know, they will engage you because they have a drive to engage with you, you know. So, you know, probably just, you know, there's even more opportunity because, you know, someone without that energy would be less likely to engage someone else in conversation or otherwise. And I also have this firm belief that the United States and American culture suffers a lot from its sexual repression in general.
Well, our puritanical upbringing, our,
you know, where we're so uptight that we don't, that we forget, or we have unlearned, that sex is a human need.
Okay, sex is a very human real thing, and variations are a very real thing. And I think of all the tragedies of people who, for whatever reason, experience a variation. And, you know, if when my kids were in elementary school, they were pretty young, I had a friend, very close friend, a male, who was exploring the transsexual route. And I said, you know, I asked permission, and he said, yeah, I'd let the kids know in on it. And I said, well, when this man was a little boy, he wanted to be a little girl, and now that he's retired and has some money, he's looking at the possibility of a surgical change. And my daughter said, well, can I help him get a name? And I can help him shop. And my son said, wow, that's expensive. He can have my savings. Which occurred to me that somewhere along the line, somebody did something right in raising my kids. But, you know, this fellow, you know, a military career. He was Air Force. He was a pilot. Now, he did start taking hormones about the same time my daughter had her first period. And she got on her broom and flew around the house for several days. And he was doing some pretty strange. And I remember saying to my guy, and I said, Jesus, I'm dealing with two little girls in puberty, and one of them's a 55-year-old male. But if we could, as a society, comfortably encompass not just gay and lesbian, but the need to cross-dress that some people have, or the need to whatever that's...
Are you
think of all the...
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, are you familiar with the bradaches, the kind of half male, half female identities in American Native American culture?
Which were honored.
Right. Yeah. See, this is like a fundamental just difference in your value system. You know, where
it was of having two. Something to the effect of having two souls.
Well, yeah, and you know, in Native American culture, very commonly, you know, women are considered born whole because they can bring new life into the world, and men have a rite of passage. And Wiwa, who was the greatest known Bradache ever, you know, was brought to meet the Queen of England, and the Queen of England thought he was a woman. Biologically, he was a man, but you know, had the male hair cut style on one side, the female on the other side, and, you know, was good at tasks that were gender specific on both sides, and was considered to be almost special, and, you know, the uniqueness wasn't feared or thought to be alien or malformed or, you know, somehow deficient. It's thought of as being blessed, and how much conflict within a society that would remove by just having that fundamental difference in the way that you look at a group of people.
Well, yeah, which I think, you know, when you were talking about our prudishness, our uptightness as a culture, I think we'd have a lot less. I'm looking for a word here short of psychopath, but just people who are just emotionally uncomfortable in their own lives, if they didn't have to conform so much to, you know, boys play with trains and girls play with dolls. And it would be all right when you were a little boy to play with a doll or a little girl to play with a train.
It's called discovering your world.
I think we're just been out of shape emotionally in many cases, having to conform to some rather arbitrary societal norms. Norms, not the word, but. I know people who are gay who sublimated. And they married, and you know, and this is not to say that they don't love their spouses and their children, and that they aren't really quite decent people.
Yeah.
But when they were working at how much do I conform and what do I give and what do I keep of myself, we don't have you know, running down the street screaming and psychopaths, but we certainly have people who could have been more comfortable in their own lives had it not been that much of a problem.
Yeah, I think anyone who is forced to deny who they are in any way is going to end up having some problems.
Are you familiar with this show that just won, took all the Tonys, The Book of Mormon?
I heard that it swept. It absolutely swept.
I've listened to the songs, the musical recordings. And it's written by the guys that did
South Park.
Yeah. And it really is a very, very good show.
Oh, well, I mean, you just watch South Park and how many times that they do musical things in there, you know, like The Simpsons, you know, they've got a lot of practice.
One of the major songs is, it's an old Mormon trick, turn it off. Don't let yourself think about that. And I'll send you the, I think you can pick it up on YouTube.
Yeah. I've heard some snippets of some of it, and it just looks a riot. And the Mormons aren't even offended by it, from what I understand.
It hadn't occurred to me, but God, you take a 18, 19-year-old kid, you know, that you're not sure you're going to trust this kid to get your coffee right. You know, you're going, you understand, one spoon of sugar and this much cream. You understand that? You know, and you may or may not get your coffee right. And you take this kid and stick a Bible in his hand and put him on a bicycle and send him to carry the word of God. Is that an awesome thought?
I do want to see it. I wonder how long it'll take for them to do international rights for it, and we'll see it be done down here in Australia, because I reckon it would probably go. But you know what I find interesting, because I've worked in musical theater in production, and one of the things that I've, in the last 15 years or so, there's been very little new stuff. It's all just been rehashing of the same Webbers and all that other stuff, and anything that comes here is an exact package up and move of a Broadway production of something that's been going on way too long. And the fact that this thing swept at the Tonys just goes to prove.
Well, I watched the Tonys last night, and there were a number of innovative things that had happened that were good. I mean, what was the show that, I think it was actually an Andrew Lloyd Webber thing a number of years ago, they did on roller skates?
Yeah, Starlight Express.
That was innovative, but one of the things, and it's kind of a sleeper, and I'm not even sure the name, but it's, the story deals around a World War One situation. I think it's a South African, Brits in South Africa, and a horse or horses. And the horses are puppets. But we're talking horse-sized puppets.
Yeah.
And you're going, what was it, Q Street that used the hand puppets?
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that the last few years of like live animatronics. Basically, there's been some dinosaur things that have actually.
Well, I'm not a Disney fan. I'm not a Lion King fan, etc. But damn, the puppetry and the staging of Lion King.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Not.
Oh my.
I'm not doubting any of that grandness or any of that. But it just there's always been innovative things that are happening, whether or not they're getting past.
Well, that was Julie Traymore, who did The Lion King, who unfortunately apparently overdid Spider-Man. She was the original director, and now she's not. But God, what a wonderful mind this woman must have to put together some of these things. They're really, really, really awesome.
Well, one of my favorite. Go ahead.
People are tuning us out. We're in large numbers at this point because we're off on a
gone all
a
Broadway.
Niche.
They're talking about the Tonys. What's going on?
Okay. Truth be told, I'm a drama major.
I did musical theater sound design, so I mean, you know, I was fully immersed in it for years, and the point I was making though is it does seem that there's definitely a hunger for, just like in music, people to take risks, and here the South Park guys took a real risk and put this thing on, and it's done really, really well. I'm going to let you go, Francie. I got someone coming up on the other line, and I've lost two callers so far. Take care.
And hug to the room.
All right.
Bye-bye now.
Take care of yourself. All right. Welcome to the program. Who we got?
Hey, John. It's Mark calling from Central Florida.
Hey, Mark. How you going? Sorry about the sidestep into musical theater there. Where that came from, I have no idea. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I didn't catch that, but I think you're doing a good job tonight, and I like listening to progressive people just speak the truth to each other. I agree with both of your observations about the subject you're talking about, and I'm not hung up on anybody's freedoms. I just was going to call and make a comment about Congressman Wiener and Congressman the gentleman from right in my area here. I can't think all of a sudden. And Elliot Spitzer, Ellen Grayson, and you can look at John Edwards, and you can look at Bill Clinton. I think there are people that listen to this show that would realize it, but there are corporations and agencies, I don't know really sure exactly who they are, that do nothing but surveillance on Americans that are willing to speak up for other Americans. Unlike the right, who only speak for what the corporations tell them to speak for, and their constituents only repeat what they're told to say. And that's why I was listening to you earlier tonight. We wonder why they don't question the missing money. It's because they're not told to question it. And there was one observation, John, I would make about the missing money in Iraq. I wonder, President Obama went down to Brazil about 8 weeks ago, or whatever it was, 4 weeks ago, and now they're running that commercial on CNN and trying to be against President Obama. But from what I've read is the Brazilians are doing oil speculations no longer on the dollar. They were trending towards the euro. And I wonder if the missing money in Iraq, though I'm sure it had some malevolent features to it, wasn't actually discharged in the area to prevent the proliferation of the euro or some other currencies, Chinese currency or the dinar or whatever it would be. I'm not specific enough to know. I would like to drop back, though, to the Alan Grayson, Elliot Spitzer, and Congressman Wiener, and John Edwards. All of these people, excluding Grayson, were brought down, I believe, intentionally at a particular time because this intelligence is gathered on these folks and they release those bombs when they desire to.
That I wouldn't have any doubt about. I wouldn't doubt that there's a lot of little packages of information going. We're just going to hold on to this for when it would be most useful.
That would be my impression. I wish there's a part of me that doesn't want to name the corporations, but For example, I think Weiner, what he was, I guess New York's getting back to Nancy's living in New York City. I guess New York City gets a lot of their water from upstate New York, which I guess only makes common sense. But what's going on in upstate New York, which has national significance, is this new fracking. Not so new, but
yeah. Right? I know. So, I'm well up on fracking, and in fact, there's. It's making it to the headlines here at the moment in Australia, because just like in New York State and all through that shale valley or whatever it is that they call it, the deposits there, we have similar stuff here in New South Wales and Queensland, and there's been a couple of little minor accidents with a couple of the small startups, and people have noticed. So they're actually put a moratorium on here at the moment while they're having some back and forth on it, because we're seeing what's been happening over there.
You know, John, I didn't realize you're in Queensland, and I'd like to say
I'm in New South Wales, actually.
New South Wales. Well, I'd like to say one of our bosses at the nuclear power plants from that part of the world is a young guy. He's very sharp. He's very popular. He's an engineer with the company I work for, and he's appropriately. Professional, but he also has a human side to him, which a lot of the young guys like. I'm a little older than my voice lets on, but I like him as well because I'm young at heart. But I wanted to mention though that we Americans are aware that there were some the earthquake earlier, and then these tremors here recently. And I want to let you know that we do care about. Your part of the world as well as the rest of the world.
Well, cheers, man. See, I'm an American that's been living here since 98. So I'm doing the whole expats kind of point of view. So I mean, like this is the thing, man. When I first got here, the last time I was in the United States, Bill Clinton was president. So I have watched from afar us go from he fiddles around a bit, but hey, you know, he's been a pretty good ambassador, you know. The economy's kind of rocking, and then all of a sudden, 2000 comes, and it's like the lost decade begins.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like they were talking about on Bill Maher the other night, like Japan's. I thought I detected an American accent, but I'm pretty good with my ears. I've lived in different spots around the world, and it's just one of those things. I probably listen better than I'm able to hear at this point from my association with the loud noises. But I lived in Argentina. I lived in Central America, and I've been to a number. I lived in Hawaii for 3 years, so you get a crossroads. I would just say that the fracking, I guess, was gathering some steam, though, John, in upstate New York. And you have the actor Mark Ruffalo. You have probably the Sundance folks that are coming out with information about that. And I think that the citizens of New York are a lot more. I live in Central Florida. This is like the 1830s compared to upstate New York. Though I know there's hillbillies there, but it just seemed to be a different people as far as perceptibility. Real quick, these are good-hearted people here, but their knowledge and their quest for knowledge and their quest for knowledge outside of an area is not their fault, but it's just not there. And so it's hard for me to be a progressive in this. I'm a big healthy guy. I'm a union construction guy, and I'm an ex-Marine, and I can do all the rough and tumble stuff, so I fit in. But anyway, John, I just want to let you know you're doing a good job tonight, and I think that Alan Grayson speaks out against the Federal Reserve. Pitzer, of course, was able to tell us about Wall Street before Wall Street, John.
Alan Grayson's a great guy, and just before you go, I was going to just tell you this. A guy I grew up in New Jersey, and a guy I went to high school with lives up in New York State up there, right in the heart of where all this crap's going down with the fracking, and he is...
Uh-huh.
He's a boots on the ground, you know, trying to protect my local community and your city water, you dumb New Yorkers, if you don't realize what this is about to do, right?
Right, exactly.
So, like, this is a guy, and it's really funny, this is a guy that, in high school, we hardly ever spoke. Suddenly, you know, 20-something years later, we realize we actually have a lot in common, and have been in a lot better connect. And he's been saying that they are actually seeing some results that people are starting to put the brakes on this process and going, hey, you know what? The data you're giving us isn't, yeah, the natural gas might be clean burning, but the way that you're extracting it is the most destructive thing we've ever seen in the history of energy generation. We got to pull this back and have a real look at it. So we may actually bite this one before it gets too bad, I hope. But
well, what little I know about it, John, if you don't mind me making a comment, I don't know anything about it, but I did catch some wise people like your friend and yourself. What they're saying that actually the technology that they're trying to implement is not all that well founded, and that it's not it's just not a safe industry altogether, and it's a hobbled together technique that's not really I guess approved would be a quick word to use, but it's just not, it just contaminates everything. And I think Wiener would obviously, I haven't checked his voting record nor anyone else's, but I think he would be siding with, I think there's 36 states that have something to do with this fracking. I haven't had time to check into it because of the work that I do. But anyway, John, I'll hang up in case there's some other callers, and I'll listen to you tomorrow night, and I thank you for taking my call.
All right, man. I do appreciate it, man. Thanks for calling in, and take care of yourself.
Hey, John, who was the pro basketball player that was a U.S. senator from New Jersey?
Crap.
Bob Brown?
No, not Brown. That was the Californian.
Jerry Brown. I'm trying to think. It'll come to you.
It will.
If that guy is he's an outstanding progressive, and if you're anything like that gentleman, which I believe that you are, thank God for New Jersey.
Is he still out there? Is he still out there?
Yeah, I saw him. Actually, I saw him on Bill Maher about 2 or 3 months ago. I think he was on as a guest. So yeah, he's. I'm trying to think of a gentleman's name, but he thinks and talks just like we young people do, even though I'm 53, John. Have a good night.
Take it easy, buddy. Thanks very much, man.
God bless you. Yeah.
All right,
bro. Ciao.
Bye-bye. All right, new caller. And I believe that was Mark. Thanks very much, man. I do appreciate that. And as we get towards the end of things here, not saying that the battle's been won yet, but, there's been some promising things in regards to fracking that, people are looking at it. Because it really, the state government here, said, yep, 3/4 of the state, up for it, go for it, fucking start cracking and fracking away. And, this is a really water-starved nation, even though we've had these ridiculous floods, we're still a water-starved nation, we're still a desert island continent. And, so water is right up there when it comes to priorities. Bill Bradley, thank you, Meg. Thank you. Thank you, Meg Imp. Bill Bradley, thank you very much. Wow, that was really having to go back. I hadn't thought about Bill Bradley in ages. Played for the Celtics, I think. I do believe. Huh. Wow, man, that's going way back. That was a late 70s, and then it was after him that we got Tom Keen, who was actually a really good Republican governor. Tom Keen was excellent, and I've spoken about him many times over the years, actually. One of the most telling statements I've ever heard from a politician. He did his 2 terms, I guess it was, in New Jersey, and then term limits came up and he couldn't run again. So at the time, the GOP was all looking for someone to follow after Ronald Reagan. And they were looking at old Tom Keen going, hey, man, how about running? And he went, nah, and just kind of disappeared. Really didn't hear much from him until the 9/11 Commission. But I heard an interview with him when I was still living back in New York or something, and they asked him why he never ran for president, and he said, well, If you go into politics actually wanting to do things for the people, the most powerful position you can have in American politics is to be a state governor. Because there you can actually see decisions that you make every day impact people's lives every day. Once you've had that, something like the presidency would feel like having your hands tied. Bradley played for the Knicks. Thank you. And I always thought that was really interesting. You know, and he, you know, this guy was a Republican, and you know, but that was back when, like, you know, the Republican Party hadn't gotten into all this loyalty pledges and purity declarations and all this other kind of thing. And, you know, he did good things. He helped clean up the state. Funny that. He went and actually cleaned the place up. You know, it was during his time that New Jersey became less and less America's, you know, toxic waste dump. And brought a lot of business from New York City into New Jersey. And, you know, he did some good stuff. And, yeah. So, you know. But I thought, always found that really fascinating that he said, you know, after being a governor, you know, to be president would have been like a step down as far as if you are trying to do things to help improve people's lives. Now, before we get out of here, in the chat room, yes, Tim, I see you mentioned Jan Brewer. I actually wanted to bring up something about Jan Brewer today. And I can't believe that I'm saying this about Jan Brewer. In Arizona and Pennsylvania, there's big fights going on about extending unemployment benefits to people. And she's bucking her own party, pushing for the extensions. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer called a special session of the state legislature on Friday, but lawmakers argued without actually voting on Brewer's bill. She put up a bill to extend unemployment benefits. This is a Republican. This is the woman who pushed through the papers please thing. How do you do that and then do this? But then again, she's never going to actually run for an election. She's never actually going to be up on a ballot. She's an appointee interim governor. So I guess, you know, if you're not worried about elections, you maybe you can do these things. But I was just so surprised to see her stand up actually for unemployed people. Well, maybe she thinks that with the other stuff she's done, she's gotten rid of all the Mexicans so that there's only unemployed white people. I don't know. That's fairly cynical. But Lottie says in the chat room, you know, maybe she sees the writing on the wall. But and CLB saying in the chat room, the Radical Tea Party is running the legislature. Well, that I guess that's why she wasn't able to get her own bill through. But hey, you know, just never would have thought that I'd be going, yay, Jan Brewer? Hey, I actually just said that. And just a couple other things that I had on the pile here before we get out of here. Now, this Alan West dude, right? He's like one of the Tea Party favorites. And I came across this, you've probably seen it at the Raw story, that retweeted something taking that Morgan comic to task for some homophobic rant that he had. I don't have enough time to chase every comic that's pissed somebody off. It obviously happened, he's apologized, whatever. But now, I thought the Tea Party were the libertarians. Or the libertarians were the Tea Party, or some way that they're kind of like the same thing, right? So there's liberty, right? Freedom. And one of his staff retweeted something taking the comic to task. Well, not only did Alan West have it removed. But he fired the employee. And fired the staff member because he tweeted something supportive of homosexuals. How does that and the whole liberty thing square there? The Alzheimer's branch of the Libertarian Party. Nice one, Lottie. But, you know, like, I read something like that, and I'm just like, you don't agree with him, but you fire him, and you're going to stand there sitting going, liberty! I stand for liberty. Stand on the corpses of, I don't know, and don't even get me on the pizza guy. See, again, there's more coverage. I can find more stories about GOP candidates that aren't in the race. Trump, Herman Cain, Palin, all these other people. And very little about Rick Santorum, who actually on Meet the Press this weekend said that abortion doctors should be put up on charges. He actually said that.
In the Meet the Candidates segment.
And, you know, wouldn't make it illegal for the woman, but I would make it criminally prosecutable for the doctors. And in the same conversation, that asshole, one who's actually running, that asshole, goes and then talks about how Obamacare, which is just bullshit term anyway, gets in the way of people and their doctors. When this same asshole wants to tell you or your daughter or your sister or some other woman related to you who for whatever reason feels the need to terminate or there is a reason to terminate a pregnancy, this guy's going to tell your doctor, no, you can't do that. And if we do, we're going to actually bring you up on charges. We're going to put you in jail. Let's talk about that whole choice thing and staying out of the way, staying, you know, not getting in between people and their doctors. So there's like a whole nother conversation that I can have about where, like, I try and get into a real conversation with some people about the idea of single-payer health care. And they're so off the planet that you can't, on what reality is that you can't even discuss in real terms what that actually means. And how by having just a central entity that pays for a basic level of insurance for everyone, how that is done, and you still have your one-on-one relationship with your doctor. It's really not hard, but when someone's completely off the planet going, it's a socialist conspiracy! I have a right to spend four times more on my health care for worse results than you do, and you can't take that right away from me. Buggy is. So, you know, we have wonderful conversations on this radio network, you know, conversation radio. It's why we do this. And it's great. I just really wish we could get these kind of dialogues to happen outside of our own ever-growing echo chamber. But anyway, before we get out of here, because Rick Smith is coming up in about 4 minutes here, don't forget, please hit the contribute button at headonradionetwork.com. Even though Bob's not here, the bills still need to get paid. And Bob's on the road. That costs money. I'm going to see about getting Bob on the phone tomorrow night for a little bit of a check-in on what's going on at Netroots Nation. And maybe talk about the premiere of The Last Mountain a little bit and things. So, you know, if you got anything you want to throw in for the program tomorrow or later in the week, you can email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. And we'll see about getting it in there. You know, you got an opinion, got something, you know, got a disagreement. Somebody disagree with me. Anyway, folks, we're going to get out of here. And thanks for hanging out on this training wheel day as John gets his head back around doing this radio thing. So as we're getting ready to get out of here, like I said, don't forget to hit that contribute button. Thanks to Texas Betsy and Gene and Lottie and Susan and the bloggers and everybody who helps out in making all this stuff possible. Thanks to Ben Birch for my mount point for tonight and for making all the bells and whistles go. So please, like I said, hit that contribute button, and we will see you tomorrow night. And as always, Gina, it's all for you. Thank you.